Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. Today, I have an awesome guest that I'm sure you're familiar with. We got Jen Gore coming out of Atlanta. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Kevin. I'm excited.
Yeah, I've been seeing your social media and following you for quite a while, and I finally was able to get a hold of you. I'm not sure how, but I appreciate that. And so I'm happy to have you on today to share quite a few things. So, of course, me and Jen have talked previous, and we were just talking backstage. We could probably just talk all day. Have a lot of similar viewpoints and running our companies. Know a lot of other lawyers as well that are running their firms. So here to share as much as we can today. But I wanted Jen to give a quick little background on who she is and her firm. And then we're going to get into some personal brand and some things like that you'd really be thinking about with your firm and where we feel, a lot of firms fall short. And so we're going to get into that today. So give us a little background.
Okay. So the short background story is that I grew up in New York in an entrepreneurial family. I went to business school. And during that time, a couple unfortunate legal events occurred in my life, and I was in a very serious car accident. I was in a lawsuit where someone stole my identity, and I thought, I think I need to become a lawyer. And so then after college, I went to law school here in Atlanta. I moved to Atlanta, and then, I knew I wanted to be a personal injury lawyer from the very jump. I worked in personal injury law firms throughout law school. And so then I started my firm the day I got my license when I graduated.
So you jump right in.
13. Yep.
That's awesome.
At that time, my daughter was 2 months old. So I started the law firm when she was 2 months old. I took the bar when I was 9 months pregnant. It was very stressful, but it all worked out.
So, you just were going all in the whole time. So that's awesome. Most people go take a lot of time, work for someone for 10 years, and then they somehow decide to jump off on their own, but you just went all in.
Well, I think because of my upbringing, that both my parents worked for themselves, that it was, part of how my parents talked to me a lot about when you grow up, you'll have your own company. It was just very presumed. And so that was something that I always wanted to have. Even before I became a lawyer, I always wanted to have my own business. And I just wasn't committed to what type of business. So then when I became a lawyer, it was super easy. I'm going to own a law firm. I also knew a bunch of lawyers that own their own law firms. And I think my experience working in other law firms gave me the confidence that I don't have to know everything, but I just need to know how to figure it out. And so I made, lots of mistakes in the beginning, but none of them were catastrophic. And I just tried to figure my way through, and I hired a bunch of coaches in the beginning, and that really was super helpful.
Just that little bit of what you said there can help a lot of business owners right there. That one, problem solving, you got to be able to problem solve. You're not going to know the answer to everything, so you got to just get in there and take it on and do the best you can. And that's how you learn a ton. And then coaches, mentors, others that have done it, right? It's a shortcut for a lot of
things. And I do think that there are some people that are really designed and cut out to work for themselves. And I do think there are other people that's not their purpose. That's not their design. And we need all types of people. I think a lot of people that own businesses tend to think oh my gosh, there's something extra special about you if you own your own business. From the business I've built now, with the leadership team that I have now, I love second in command type people. I need those kind of people. Those people, those operationally driven people who are super good at their one area and they can lead, different departments. Everyone has their purpose. And I think part of life is finding out what is your gift. And my gift tends to be on what I'm doing, which is running the company and building a crazy vision and being, I have a lot of marketing areas that I think I thrive in. But everyone's who's listening to this, you're not going to be Kevin, you're not going to be me. What is it that makes you come alive and focus your time there?
Yeah, I love that. And we were talking about this a little bit before the show. And as a younger entrepreneur, why isn't everyone want to be an entrepreneur and everybody want to, you know, crush it and grow. And, you know, you want to, and I think, you know, all my employees, they should all be looking to be at the top, you know, and it's just over the years, I've learned just what you're saying is that's not what everybody wants, and understanding what they want, and they have a place, you know.
You know, they might be thinking, why would not everyone want to be second in command? Like, everyone, whatever your worldview is, it's easy to think, why doesn't everyone else see the world the way I see it? But, you know, you have to evolve and realize, like, I'm looking at the world through my filter, and everyone has, you know, their own position. And I think the key is finding out what it is that you were uniquely born to do, and what is your unique gifts, and living in that area as much as you can.
Yeah. And so, you know, so the attorneys out there listening, you know, and just thinking back, like, you know, I work with firms that are like usually trying to grow rapidly and scale and stuff like that. And that's kind of the client that we attract and we, you know, are attracted to. But, you know, I have a lot of clients and friends and lawyers that they're not that. And the thing is, they've actually, at least they've figured it out though. Kevin, you know, I don't want to grow like crazy. I want a healthy growth, maybe 10% a year. And, you know, I got family and I want my time off and I just want to grow nice. And I'm, you know, wow, they don't want to just crush it. They want to just go, yeah, but they figured it out, right? They've laid out exactly what they want.
Yeah. And it's actually,
we should respect everyone. That more. Than
it's different for everyone. I will say, you know, growing for growth's sake is not like my vision. I mean, everything we've done in growth has been for a reason. And like, for example, I talk a lot about the most dangerous number in any law firm is number one. So if you have one person in sales, if you have one person in production, if you have one person in any set role, because for whatever reason, something can happen to them and then they cannot work there, whether they quit or they're fired or something happens to them, they get sick, and then that whole department is gone.
Single point of failure.
And that's, you know, makes your firm unstable. It makes your firm have a lot of vulnerability. And so a lot of why I started growing initially was just like having that happen over and over and over. And I've made all the mistakes. And then I'm like holding the bag and I'm like, how did we only have one intake person? And then they got sick and they quit or whatever happened. And then we're up a creek. And so, you know, I think the problem with the smaller law firms and the really like the small operations is my personal view at this point is they there's certain aspects that make them more stressful to run.
Yeah. You're constantly, that admin person leaves, the receptionist leaves, and you only have one of each and you're just constantly training.
You're in firefighting all the time. And not to say that when your firm gets bigger, you're not going to have periods of that as well. But like, if you have 5 intake people and you have the volume to do that, or 10 intake people and one has to leave, it's much less stressful to redistribute the work over those 9 remaining or those 4 remaining than, oh, now I'm the intake person, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so, you know, I really do believe in some ways a larger, more stable, more diversified firm with more employees is easier to run in some ways. Not only that, A players want to work at A firms. They don't want to work at Jane Smith's home office of, you know, just her in her office by herself as a solo. You know, A talent wants to work at the top firm. So how can you build a firm that attracts A talent? Because we know it's more fun to work with A talent. They are going to be more profitable in the long run. So if you start looking at it like from a business perspective, there's not a lot of great reasons to build a super small firm, you know, if you're going to go through the effort of building a firm, period.
Hey there, this is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm, digital marketing agency, at ArrayDigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show. That is a good way to put it. And I know one of the things I like to think about is we're trying to grow. We're always trying to grow. I got my family, my kids, everyone that I'm thinking about, okay, I gotta do something that's setting us all up, right? But at the same time, all your team and employees, Like, how can you give your team or your employees the ability to grow, lead, make more money themselves, have more security, whatever it might be, or their personal goals, right? What are they trying to achieve? If they see that you're not going to do anything or grow, well, what's in it for them to some degree? You kind of lose the ability to give them the best you can.
I think
the A players won't come.
You know, I do think there are models of firms where it's a solo and his paralegal and they've been together for 25 years and that's just what it is. And it's flatline growth, but it's just very steady. But those are the types of players that are going to be attracted to that model. Not to say it's wrong. There are people that is their dream. I'm just saying, you know, if something happens to Sally, who's been there for 20 years on year 21, something happens to her, almost all of the institutional knowledge of that law firm goes out the door, and it is an actual threat and risk. And we also have seen people like, you know, that one key player, they sometimes will withhold knowledge to create forms of control within the firm. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen fraud created that way. We've seen a lot of things. So I like the idea of having a more robust team, and we're still continuing to build. And my personal experience has been that we've gotten much higher caliber talent. We've attracted more specialized people because you don't have to wear 25 hats. If the firm is bigger, people can just do one thing.
Yeah.
And that to me has been more fun to manage, more rewarding, but that's my worldview, right?
And that's mine too. I mean, we have specialists now that, like, that's all they do. And we used to have generalists. Hey, by the way, I know we had the job description that said this, but if you could just also do a lot of this other stuff, that'd be great.
Yeah.
You have to start that way. You know, everyone's got to chip in.
In the beginning, it has to be that way, right? And people are always taking hats off. But I find you get better work when people are more specialized. And you can hold people more accountable, because it's really hard when you're having people pulled in multiple different directions to say, well, why didn't you get this out? Well, you told me to do this, and you told me to do this, and you told me. And so that's the part that makes managing it very hard.
Yeah, so, put KPIs to something like where they're jumping around to different stuff all day.
It's hard. And then, you know, at the end of the day, the work didn't get done that needed to get done because they were pulled in another direction, and then you've got to answer for it. So my driving force is just solving problems all the time and realizing, like, a lot of the solution is more people, more specialized.
Well, we both can agree on all this stuff that we're talking about, but I really wanted to get into, you know, how you've been successful and some of the branding that you've done and the social media, the personal branding, and kind of how that plays a role in your success and kind of where you're going. So first off, of course, congratulations on the Golden Gavel that they just won. So I don't know if you guys have it there or not, but so tell us about that a little bit. And then let's kind of dive into what you've created there and maybe how other firms listening, whether they're just starting out or maybe they've been doing this for quite a long time.
So at National Trial Lawyers in January last month, we won the Golden Gavel for Best Social Media. It was a surprise, although I guess we should have expected it, because they were messaging us like, are you going to be at the awards? And I was like, not putting two and two together.
What are you talking about?
I was like, yeah, of course I'm there every year. I've been going for the last 3 years, sitting in the audience, you know, watching. Kevin Kennedy won last year from TikTok. And, you know, Alexa, our marketing director, was with me, and we were both like, oh my God, we just won this. And it was crazy because, you know, we had set out like 2 years ago to really focus on building a brand. And we really divided the brand into two things, Jen Gore Lawyer and then Atlanta Personal Injury. And we thought, okay, these brands are really different, but they are connected. And so you as a lawyer are a brand. Like, think about Johnny Cochran, think about, you know, different famous lawyers that are out there. Think about even Elon Musk versus Tesla. Those are two different brands, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of law firms are not looking at it that way. And what's crazy is that people want to follow a lawyer's personal brand more than they want to actually follow a law firm. And I've described it in this context, like, imagine your dentist. Like, would you rather follow your dentist or you want to follow his dental practice? Like, there's certain things you can do in a personal brand that I think would be weird in a law firm brand. So you can talk more about your hobbies, your interests. And what we know is that people want to work with people they know, like, trust, relate to. And I think you can achieve that more in a personal brand than a like law firm brand. And
or like my agency, like how many here listening follow Array Digital? Hopefully not many versus me.
Heaven. Yeah, because you're more relatable, and it's just the way the human mind works is that they attract to following a person. And so I talk about my kids, I talk about fitness, I talk about things outside of the law firm, which then when I go places, people will come up to me and I think they feel like they know me because I'm on there sharing so much. And I felt like in the law firm brand, I really couldn't do that. Like we do a lot, but you know, not everyone's that interested in the 10 things to do after you're in a car accident, you know, if you haven't been in a car accident yet. So that content was more challenging without the personal brand. So I've been telling everyone, decide what your personal brand is and go all in on it, because you already are a brand, whether or not you accept that or not. People think of you and they think of something. And so if you take ownership of it, you can kind of cultivate that brand and really stay, like, say, I stand for this. These are my values. These are the things that I'm interested in. It has a really like magnifier effect on everything else.
I totally agree with you so much. And I'll give a talk. This is pre-COVID. We had like a marketing thing. We go a few places around our local area. And I was actually going to, I was going to like Orlando like once a month. And but yeah, one of my talks that I had was personal brand. And it was like, you have a brand regardless of whether you think you do or not. And how can you control that brand or change that narrative? And I kind of gave an example, and I can do this for maybe a law firm too. But if, you know, when I used to be Kevin, like the website guy, I used to make websites locally and that was it. And I was like, Kevin, the web guy. And I'm like, all right, I don't want them to think like I have a company now. Like I have people and
you
I had to get away from.
You like rebranded yourself?
Well, yeah, I had to like actively be like, well, it's my company. And I didn't change kind of what I said. And when I went around to networking events and like, I just had to like, just change what I was saying, kind of, right? Like, I don't want you to call Kevin the website guy, which sounds like a cheap option. I was more like, oh, now I'm more established. And so I had to kind of think about it. And then I had a couple, you know, different iterations. Now I'm a law firm marketing company versus like just anybody reaches out to us for a website, right? So along the way, I noticed like these changes where I had, you have to actively change what you're saying and then go out and tell your power base, if you will. And so just a tip for like lawyers listening, if you just started a new law firm or you're a lawyer that, you know, just became a lawyer, you just assume all your friends and family and everyone that you've ever met automatically know because you posted one time on Facebook.
They
have no clue.
To this day, I have neighbors that say like, what do you do? And I'm like, guys, I post like 2 videos a day. But the thing is that we're all in our own world. We're not paying attention to other people, honestly, at the level that you think people are. Yeah. And you're just in their awareness, but you have to like break through the distraction and the noise that is in our society today. And you have to say your message over and over and over and over again, and people still don't hear it.
Yeah. I mean, I have like close family. They're like, yeah, Kevin, he develops software. Or no, he does IT.
Because they put you in this box in their mind that's something to do with a computer.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
People ask me and ask me if I do family law. I'm like, no. But, you know, in their mind, I'm a lawyer. That's the box. And so I don't think you can hit this hard enough. Like, you have to constantly remind the public of what you do in different and creative ways. And it's just it's what you have to do to be a marketer.
Yeah, but I would challenge any attorney, especially if you just started a new firm or you're a solo practice, like make a list of all your friends and family that, and just say, hey, by the way, just checking in with you. Did you know that I started my law firm and here's what I do? And you'll probably get all kinds of, oh, I didn't know that. Actually, I know someone that could use that. Maybe you're a divorce attorney. Maybe you're criminal defense, whatever. But
I think sometimes
you think you have a referral base that you haven't even touched the surface of.
Even our team members, the people that works at my firm, she's worked there for 6 years. She said she was shocked that someone in her family was like, what is it that you do again? So the team members all, but I think it's like we have a family member that's a doctor, right? Or somebody. And we're like, but we don't even know what their specialty is. You know, we're guilty of it too.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. But it's up to them for us, you know, to get in front of us and say, here's what I do. Yeah. Everyone means well. but you're just not thinking about what all these other people do so you can refer them all day, right? So yeah. We've got to go out of our way sometimes. We've actually created, we have an incentive plan for every employee in a whole company. If they get a referral or yes. recommend something to a client and they move forward, it can be just, hey, by the way, this person, they're an attorney and I'm throwing them and we'll send them they'll get a bonus every single time. So
it's a great idea.
My whole employee staff of 42 people is incentivized to talk about us, make sure people know about us, get referrals, all that, and they'll get paid for it.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, years prior, how the NTL Golden Gavel Awards came around was that years ago, lawyers couldn't even advertise. And they wanted to create an award for the best advertisers, the people that are, doing the best billboards and the best outdoor campaigns, because there is somewhat of a stigma that still exists in some lawyer circles that advertising is negative. Mm-hmm. And I really think that is not serving the general public. I always tell my kids, there's good lawyers, there's bad lawyers, there's good doctors, there's bad doctors, there's good cops, there's bad cops. Just because some people sometimes do stuff that may or may not be 100% tasteful in advertising doesn't mean we should stop advertising. There's always going to be things that are controversial, but if you don't advertise, it's very difficult to get clients,
and need your help.
Yeah. You've got to go out and be in a place where someone can find you.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, this is Arjan was on the show recently and this is him, of course, 100%, but you provide a service to people that helps people. Right. And so in order to help more people, they got to be able to know that you're there. And if you feel you're the best at what you do, why not get in front of more of those people to help those people?
I'll give you an example. In my industry, in personal injury, I think that we've done a pretty good job of people know that if they get in a car accident, they can call a lawyer and we've educated the public. Now, yeah, is there some crazy ads? But there's a lot of other areas of law that people truly don't know what their legal options are if X, Y, or Z happens. That advertising has not educated the public. So I think in some ways in personal injury, we were really paving the way, because of the high stakes, in our industry and, these cases can be multi-million dollar cases, but it's really sad. We've recently gotten into mass torts, and mass torts is, more like these new events that are occurring, and a lot of the public does not know. They may have been harmed by one of these events and they don't really know, what their options are. There was a lot of money put into the Camp Lejeune advertising because we had to educate people, on what to do in these events. We couldn't just rely on people knowing if I live there, I should call and seek counsel.
Yeah. Versus I got hit or hurt in a car. That's a moment in time that happens that they're like, oh, I gotta go do this thing. Versus the mass torts, it's like they don't even know, right? They just
Even think about probate. There's so many people that when their family member dies, they don't know what the next steps are. They don't know what should I do. I don't even think people know what the word probate is often.
Well, I was getting ready to mention estate planning specifically because I have. Our law firm clients got, we have estate planning firms, we have personal injury, of course, all kinds of different practice areas. Some are general, they do all of it. But estate planning is one of the ones that they're completely anti-advertising. They'll do SEO and be found, but other than that, it's like, they just think, they don't think it works for them and they're against it. But everyone needs a will. What is a trust? Who needs a trust? I mean, those are massive things that everyone should be doing versus you're all advertising the people that may have been in a car accident, but
I think
everyone needs a will.
Opportunity. There's a hole in the market. Maybe there's some opportunity here. I think everything, just because it hasn't been done before, maybe there's going to be someone who comes out and does a ton of advertising on wills and trusts. It would be less competition. But, the main thing, the message here is that advertising and marketing is an essential part of running any type of law firm. It's the heartbeat of, if you don't have cases, the lifeblood, if you don't have cases coming in consistently and predictably, because we know referral businesses are kind of inconsistent. Mm-hmm. If you don't build a marketing machine that consistently delivers cases to your firm, it's very hard to run that type of business.
Yeah. And then that affects everyone that works there, their family is your family. Yeah. So you have to have that sustainability.
It's possible. I have built a marketing machine that we can turn the dial up, we can turn the dial down. I used to not believe that was possible because it was so frustrating. My business started off as a referral business. Referrals are very difficult to scale because unless the person referring you the business is growing at the rate you're trying to grow at, the inbound leads will not come in as quickly as you're growing.
Be sporadic, yeah, at best. And so I think there's a lot of referral businesses I talk to that they're just, that's their mindset and that's where they stay. And yeah, they kind of stay the size that they're at and they kind of do good this year and a little bit better next year. And then they go down again. And, you know, it's just kind of the game they play.
I do think referrals are often some of our best cases. I do think you should have a referral component to your business, but I haven't known many firms that have ever scaled off of referrals solely, unless it's a super unique situation.
Yeah, unless they have like some, well, I've heard of some pretty cool like referral program system, like they've really put a lot of emphasis and energy into it to build it, but there's still, you know, it's not going to be as predictable as
trying. If you're getting referral overflow from a firm that's blowing up, scaling, and then they're sending you their cases, they're not, I could see that, but you're really.
They can also cut that off at any moment.
Exactly.
You know what? We're going to keep those now.
Yeah, so it's vulnerable. I mean, my feeling on marketing is that you should have a variety. We have a ton of different ways we get cases and we're diversified. And we're always trying to make sure that all channels are growing and all channels are stable and like consistently working.
Well, I totally agree with you 100%. You should never put all your eggs in one basket. You need to have, and there's new things happening, new, you know, social media platforms, there's new things happening all the time, and how you stay on top of that, new technology, how you're leveraging those things. So it's a lot to be keeping up with, but I want to kind of go back to the brand part. And if you're going to advertise, you're going to show up number one on Google My Business, local service ads, all this other stuff, right? If you're going to show up there and you want to, but what about the brand? And what energy and time have you put into your brand so that when they do go to your website or to your social media channel, what are they seeing? And are we converting them? Are they the right ideal client and customer because of what you've done with your brand? So I want to kind of put like some back to the importance of that.
So yeah, you really need to take the time to develop your brand and think about what are the ideal clients. Also just thinking about, you know, your brand values, your vision statement, your principles that your firm stands for. We spend a lot of time, this bleeds into culture, because you want to attract the right type of client. You want to, you know, be clear what cases you do and do not take. And then when it comes to your personal brand, it's really, you know, your personal values, what you stand for, what you stand against. You know, you have to kind of do a certain level of personal development to be comfortable in your own skin as a brand. I do think we talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
So many people, when I talk about branding, they're like, I'm uncomfortable. Like, you know, they're comfortable going to court, but they're not comfortable maybe speaking on stage at an event.
Or getting in front of a camera or a phone.
Or on social media. I'm so desensitized from being on social media all the time. Like, I'm on camera all the time that I don't think about it. But if you're not comfortable on camera, or what you look like or what your voice sounds like, it's going to be very hard for you to put yourself out there as a brand. So I think actually the pre-work to building a personal brand is really getting comfortable in your own skin and like doing some work on yourself, because you're going to have to be authentic. You're going to have to speak your mind. You're going to have to stand for something. And I'm not saying I'm a perfect individual. I have my flaws. Like, I think that's part of the vulnerability of being a personal brand is also talking about those things. But you're going to come across very ingenuine if you're very uncomfortable in your own skin.
Yeah. Or you've devised some kind of angle for advertising and it's not really you, you know, or you're trying to just come up with something because you think it's going to work well. It needs to be for real. And
talk on topics and like in your brand on the things that you're genuinely interested in. Like, don't just say, well, this is what people want to hear about. Like, in my personal brand, it's like the things I'm interested, the things that excite me, the things I want to talk about. And I don't really care. Like, there's going to be people that don't like my brand. Like, if people all like your brand, it's too vanilla.
Yeah.
I get tons of haters on my brand.
Well, the thing is too, like if you pull all this out of yourself and you put it out there, and if you go to Jen's website, picture of her, there's video of her. So many law firms lack all that stuff. I've seen some of like, yeah, we don't want pictures of any people. We don't have our team on here. We don't, a video, like they're almost like hiding as if they don't want to get too, popular in the limelight. Like, that's not your concern. Oh, but they don't get to know who you are. Like if I go to your website and I got a car accident and I get two others and there's that video and I'm like, okay, I hear the attorney. I see them. Like you make a personal connection through that video more than if you didn't have even a picture on your website. So it's just,
okay. You know. I think part of it is that people are uncomfortable with self-promotion.
And I don't want to be all about me, right?
I'm like the opposite. I'm like, if you don't cheer for yourself, nobody else is gonna. Like, if you can't be like, I'm awesome, come hire my law firm, like nobody else is gonna do it. Like you gotta get real comfortable being self-promoting, especially if you own a law firm. And I think people think it's bragging. I don't really know what they think, but you gotta be confident. To be a great entrepreneur, to be a great law firm owner, you gotta have unwavering confidence, even when you're not 100, like I have to sometimes put on the face of like, I got this, and I'm like, maybe I don't, but I'm gonna go forward,
No, I think, spot on. And I've heard a lot of people in the past, different business that we work with that just for the owner or the person that like, I don't want to be on there. I don't want to be mentioned. Like, they got that kind of like, I don't want to be about me or whatever reason they might have. They're telling themselves, but.
You know what my mindset coach told me? Cause I was in that place a couple years ago, maybe like 5 years ago. That's when we changed the name to Atlanta Personal Injury Law Group. I was like, okay, so this isn't really going to be about me. I'm going to be in the background. That was my frame of mind.
Yeah.
And I went to my mindset coach and he was like, why are you hiding? He's like, you don't want to be seen. And I had a whole story in my mind about what that meant if I was seen. And it was all BS. Like, and then I basically worked through it. I know this sounds kind of woo-woo, but I swear this is the part of branding that people don't talk about. And it's like, you have some kind of limiting belief in your mind that if I put myself out there or if I grow my firm to a certain level, something bad's going to happen. And you,
what if I fail somewhere along the way?
Public failure, or people are going to judge me. Or for me, my limiting belief, I don't even want to vocalize it, but back then was like, people are going to come after me. And it's not real. It's like something in your mind that you're making up that's actually limiting you.
Yeah.
And then, you can basically reframe any of these limiting beliefs that you have. And they're basically fears. And you have to be able to constantly face your fears to up level. And you're going to get people that go on your social media if you put yourself out there as a brand that say terrible things. And you've got to have like thick skin. And you have to know that these people actually don't even really think about you that much. Like if someone leaves a negative comment, they're on to the next negative comment they're leaving. They're not really dwelling on you.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And there's also going to be people that you inspire with your content. And there's going to be people who you help them with their legal case. And like, it's the good with the bad.
Yeah, 100%. I think as you hit different levels, you're going to have more haters. And most people don't like that. I don't know. I probably could never run for be a politician because that's just at the people hate you. I couldn't deal with that. But you want more haters, right? Then that's a sign that you're doing something. You're making enough attention.
I'm going to love the haters, but I just know like it comes with the territory, right?
Yeah. And you're making an impact if you got haters though. You're making enough noise that people are recognizing you.
If you're too in the middle, you're too vanilla, you're not really inspiring anyone and you're not making anyone mad. And like, it's okay. It's okay because there's always going to be someone with an opinion about what you're doing, no matter what you're doing. If you're doing nothing, there's going to be someone who has an opinion about that. I do think I put myself out there more. So I do get more, the more you put yourself out there, you're going to get more noise, but it's okay. Like, it's just, you can't let it derail you.
Yeah. And I think to your point too, is without how you're going to inspire somebody or do the good if you're just sitting back and being quiet. So it's not gonna happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. Like all of what I will say that I think a lot of people also don't, there is opportunities that have come to me through my branding and social media that in my wildest dreams would have never come to me. You attract like such incredible opportunities when you put yourself out there as a brand. And then, you know, like, it's crazy. Like, it's actually absolutely crazy what you can attract, you know, when you're putting your truth out there and you're speaking your mind. Like, there's going to be people out there that are like, oh my gosh, I need to, like, me and you would have never met, right?
No, not at all. No, I mean, you know, and actually when I got a hold of Jen, I was like, she's like, oh, I've listened to your podcast. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, I record these a couple a week and I have, you know, amazing conversations like I'm having here with Jen. And so, but I have to do this constantly all the time. And I got to be up for doing this and feel good enough to record or just do it. Right. And I know this is going to go out live, lightly edited, if not edited, no edited at all. So, but you just got to be comfortable with it. And it's so easy now. I've done 300 episodes and it's repetition. You get comfortable. But I think that's the hardest part. You know, we've been doing this stuff for a while.
Yeah.
Someone sitting right now going, I don't know, you know, how do I get started? What's the first step for me to feel comfortable or to record that first video? Or, you know, how do they get started? I think that's where people fall short. They just, it's like this,
you know what?
Thought, but they just don't do it.
Okay. So we can talk about this for a second. So true. Everything is easier with repetition. You've done all these podcasts. I've been on tons of podcasts. I don't even really, like, I just feel like I don't even really prepare. I just am going to talk. Like, it's comfortable.
I didn't prepare at all for this.
Yeah.
I'm just having a conversation with you. It's like not even recording to me.
But the first time, it's very nerve-wracking. So how do you get the, like, courage to do the thing you need to do? You just literally do it, and then you mess it up, and it gets easier and easier. Like, there is no, oh, well, it's just, like, you can't wait till you're ready. Like, you just have to jump in. You just have to jump in the deep end of the pool. Like, I remember the first TikTok we shot, it was like, I didn't love it. But, like, as we've done them, I'm like, oh, now I understand, like, lighting. I understand these things. I understand, like, tempo. Like, I wouldn't have learned any of those things if we didn't make terrible content the first, you know. And even now, like, I say all the time, in a year, I'm going to, like, look at my content from now and be like, I hate it.
Yeah, 100%. I remember the first podcast I did. I have a personal podcast called $3,200 million, basically. Like seven years ago, me and my partner were like, we're gonna get $100 million in revenue. And we had a podcast. It was daily. I would batch them. But I remember the first. I was like, man, my voice is terrible. I feel like I had never heard my voice before.
That's
the problem. I was like, this. I don't want to do this. I was like, this sucks. And I still don't like my voice, but. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know what your voice is and you accept it. That's what, when you're a marketer, you realize, like, a lot of people just, they don't know what their voice sounds like. And it's like, when you've heard your voice 1,000 times, you're just like, it is what it is.
Yeah. And I still sometimes like, how was that saying or whatever, but it's just, you got to do it, right? It's part of the process and you just got to get it out there, and it's repetition, just like working out, right? You just got to continue to do it. You don't want to get up and go to the gym sometimes, right? But,
you know, I think a lot of it is similar to being like a trial lawyer, like how you appear in trial. Like, if you video record yourself giving an opening, like, you can learn a lot, you know. There's a lot of things that, you know, the skills it takes to be a great trial lawyer, to be persuasive, really translate to be a great marketer.
Yeah. I think it really goes back to what you said, for those that are listening to that didn't win a golden gavel this year. Or that have like the social media that's like, it's happy Labor Day.
Oh, that's so hard. You know. Please, yeah. Stop. I mean, every now and then you can throw one of those in, but.
Yeah, when you're producing as much as you do and you throw one of those in, like, it still gets action because, you know, it's on, you know, you're just posting so much. So you can actually get away with that. Everyone else is just posting that stuff. You know, it's terrible.
Social media in 2013 or something.
Well, unfortunately, I'd say 99% of the firms that are probably listening right now, that's their social media. Like, it's, you know, here's a client testimonial. We just hired Sally, but
testimonials. I think those are impactful. I think if you could do video client testimonials, I like those as well.
Yeah, but when your whole feed's just repetitive of the same three things, you're doing your three posts for a week, like, that's, and it's all image.
Here's another I do want to mention, though, about social media and branding. There are people out there doing stuff that on social media, negative tends to work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are people doing things that I consider like negative. You never want to do something in social media that would harm your base brand. So, like, for example, I've seen people putting up videos because they're trending on like chastising their employees, right? Like, because the public could find that funny. If you believe in treating your employees with total respect and then you go make a video like that, you're harming your brand. And I've had to like mention this to many lawyers I know. I'm like, yeah, I understand it might get 100,000 views, but it's not the type of views you want.
That's even worse, right? It got more views than your other stuff. And so the negative stuff now is more your brand than what you believe.
Yeah. Or like seen people making fun of clients on their TikTok because it gets views, or like, my clients are crazy. That is a very negative frame of mind. We don't believe clients are crazy. Our clients are in some of their most difficult times of their life. I would never make content just for views, because what is the net end goal to build your brand? Well, you don't want a brand where the firm trashes their client.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, you know, you just figure out what the algorithm wants and just change up all your stuff to that. That's not what you should do. I agree with that 100%.
Well,
I mean, on LinkedIn, if on LinkedIn, you do a text post and it's all about woe is me and I did this wrong, and that gets tons of action.
Yeah.
But I don't want to post that crap all day.
That's the challenge, is that negative does work really well in these platforms. And so, you know, to put out positive content that's in alignment with what you believe in, you know, it takes more strategy and you never really know what's going to work. But I do think my point of view is it's a volume game. Part of, I think, why we've gotten into so many people's feeds is just the volume. You put up enough content, you're always there. You're consistently, we put up a video 365 days of the year. If you have a video every day, it's way more consistent than posting randomly.
Oh yeah, you're being rewarded for it. And that's the thing, that's what it takes. I mean, to get what you got, the word you guys got, it's strategy, repetition. And then, you know, first I think, you know, going through the exercise to know your brand and yourself and establishing that and coming to Jesus with that. And then it'll be a lot easier, I think, for you to start. Right. Once you're like, you know what, this is me and this is it. And then once you go through that personal development, like you said, this is a lot easier to just, you know, accept and be like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to record this and throw it out there and I'm just going to do it.
Yes. And your unique. Yeah. Your uniqueness is your power. It even comes down to how you dress. It's just everything. You are a brand. When you show up, you're on brand. You are exactly who you've said you are. You know, it's really fun. I love branding.
Well, I appreciate you sharing everything about this topic, and we've covered quite a few things here, but I want to make sure that people that are new to you and your brand, they can reach out to you, they can learn more from you. I got your website address there at the bottom. So it's atlinjurylawgroup.com. You can check her out. Obviously, you know, if you're watching this, we're on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, you can Google for the podcast.
Come heckle our posts.
Yeah, we'll comment. If you say anything, have a question while you're watching this, I'll see it. I can tag Jen and make sure she, you know, reaches out to you. But what's the best way for other attorneys or people watching to connect with you or follow you? What if they wanted to like actually message you and get you? What's the best way to do that?
Find me on all the social media platforms, but my email is jennifer@atlinjurylawgroup.com. I'm available. Anyone has any questions. I love meeting people that are trying to grow and scale their firms. Like I said, I've mentored a ton of people and, you know, go to the conferences. That's where we all are. I'm trying to get Kevin to come to the conferences.
I'm going to be there. It's just talking me into it. I got a couple that are going to be hopefully coming to you. So take the podcast on the road. Watch out. So. So what I wanted to mention too, before we go, the book that you co-authored, I think I had a...
Oh, yes.
Did you have, you had like a little version of it there in your office there.
Yeah.
Tiger Tactics.
Tiger Tactics, CEO Edition. Me and several of my lawyer colleagues and people I met through the book writing process wrote this book, Tiger Tactics, and we released it in November of 2023. It's been amazing. Something I always wanted to do. And it just, honestly, I feel the branding was the reason they invited me to be part of it. And that's one of the opportunities that I was describing. Like things come to you that you, you know, never knew were going to come to you. I got to write my chapters in the book. They pose 6 questions to each of us that own law firms, and we all got to answer it from our own point of view. A lot of my point of view was, you know, from the woman's position. I have kids. I've, you know, done all this, you know, scaling a firm while raising a family. And then through, you know, all the coaching I've received over the years, you know, there was like certain questions like, who do you need to grow a law firm? What tools do you need? And it was really interesting to hear everyone's different perspective.
Oh, wow, that's really cool. So, and here's as a non-law firm owner, I think I should get a copy of that because I'm sure I can learn just as much. So, and that's one thing about this podcast. Like, I'm learning from you right now, and all my guests that run businesses is happen to be law firms versus marketing, but they're all businesses, right? Like this business is the same thing. This is the business. You just happen to be in the law firm business and I'm in the marketing business. But all the same systems, processes, hiring, firing, culture, all apply, right? And those are all things that you've got to work on all those things. There's so many things that you have to put attention to. This, you know, the answers are out there, but it sounds like hiring tactics sounds very tactical in nature.
Really a lot of experts. Practical insight and like our true experiences. And it's a variety of practice areas. So it's people that are doing criminal, family, personal injury. It's not just personal injury. And yeah, a lot of great advice in there. A lot of successful law firm owners participated. So if you want to check out the book, it's on Amazon. It was a bestseller. We were like blown away. It was super exciting.
It's awesome. So it just came out in November, you said, right?
Yeah.
You earlier had the little ornament, the tiger.
They put it over here.
They stole it. They took it away.
Yeah, they took it away. So I'm gonna bring it back.
I'm gonna get one of those for my tree.
Amazing. Give me this ornament. Isn't that very nice?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I would definitely have that on my tree if I was in the book. So that's awesome.
My legal ornaments.
Yes. Well, I'll leave us with this and you can add to it. But because of what you've done with your brand, putting yourself out there in the social media, just the repetition and the effort behind it, it's paid off in many ways. You're getting exposure to things that you never would have. You're getting opportunities that you never would have. You're growing your firm. You're learning from the best in the business that you've built relationships with, all because of, you know, again,
attracting top talent, building, helping more clients. Like it all kind of goes together.
Yeah. Yeah. So small law firms out there that are listening, if this is something you haven't worked on, or if you're say in estate planning, or you're in a, oh, this doesn't apply to me, you're a referral only business. You know, you got to think outside the box here. This, all these things are applicable to any practice area or any business that's listening at all. You just got to find what works for you. But I think going through, you know, the motions and stepping back and, you know, putting some strategy behind it. What do you want to do? Who are you? What could work for you? And if you're unsure, reach out to me, reach out to Jen. Happy to help you, you know, point you in the right direction. Well, Jen, anything else you'd like to add before we go?
Thank you so much for having me on. You've had such impressive guests on the show, and it's such an honor to be invited on. I love the conversations you're having and helping, you know, get the message out there of what it takes to grow and scale, you know, a law firm. And just these conversations are so needed.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I'm glad to add you to the list of alumni to the show, and always looking for guests, good guests that can bring a different perspective, you know, niche, you know, or just broad experience. But if you're out there and you're like, yeah, I could be a good guest, or I have something that I've done that's unique that you could add, and I could have Jen on like 10 times in a row and we could just cover.
We have lots to talk about.
Yeah. You'll be seeing her again, I think. But yeah, always looking for great guests. So anyone out there that's listening thinks you'd be a good guest, let me know. Happy to reach out to me and we can get you on the show. And again, for me, the conversation is the most important part of this, for regardless of the recording or y'all are watching, it's great. But I learned so much and I get to have the conversation with Jen and get to meet her. So putting myself out there and having this podcast and recording this in video as well, right? So if you're in a car listening, this is also all video and we have this on other platforms. It gets you out of your comfort zone and you get to meet people and you get to build relationships. There's just so much that comes out of it. So I'm grateful to be doing this and, you know, just excited to have Jen and others like that on the show. So get out there, grow your firms, think about your personal brand. And if, you know, you don't think you have one, you do, but you might want to work on that. So Jen, thanks so much. You can stay backstage with me. Everyone else, have a great day and good luck out there. Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests, and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to ArrayDigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening and thanks for sharing.